नमस्ते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं ततो जयवीर भगवती उत्तम कृष्णाय देवकी नंदनाय च गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। सो चैप्टर 3 द लॉर्ड्स पास टाइम आउट ऑफ वृंदावन। सो इट वॉज लाइक द फर्स्ट पोर्शन ऑफ द 10th कैंटो अप टू वृंदावन पास टाइम्स। नाउ आउट ऑफ वृंदावन मीन्स हेयर मथुरा एंड द्वारका। ओके, सो द रिमेम्बरेंसेज ही कॉन्टिन्यूज टू टेल हिज रिमेम्बरेंसेज ऑफ लॉर्ड्स पास टाइम्स। टेक्स्ट 1। उद्धवा उवाच तथा सागत्य पुरं सपित्रोस् चिकीर्षया शम्बलदेव संयुता निपात्य तुङ्गाद्रिपुयूथनाथम् हतं विकर्षद् व्यसुम्मोज सर्व्याम्।
Shri Uddhava said, thereafter Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Shri Baldev, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of the public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength.
Okay, so the killing of the Kamsa is described. It is described that when Krishna and Balaram killed and pulled the Kamsa, a canal was created by dragging his body. Canal, you know. His body was so heavy, they were dragging. So Prabhupada writes over here in the purport, in the middle of the purport, when the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, their parents feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long in the house of Nand Maharaj. The parents of the Lord, due to paternal affection, felt extreme danger and they almost fainted. Just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa, Krishna and Baldev pulled Kamsa's dead body along the ground to encourage them. So this killing of Kamsa will be described in 10th canto, 44th chapter. Right, in detail. Text 2. Sandipane sakrit proktam Brahmaditya savatsaram Tasme pradad varam putram Mritam pancha janodarat.
The Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamloka.
Okay, so just by hearing once Krishna and Balaram, they learned all kind of Vedic knowledge. Right, so various kinds of Vedic knowledge they learnt. including how to understand the language of other birds. You keep something in the hand and the person can tell what is in your hand. All that is mentioned, you know. Various kinds of, including the magic. Right? So they just heard it once and learned all this knowledge. Sandipani Muni's ashram is in Ujjain, right? Recently, we were in Ujjain. I had the opportunity to go 3-4 times and stay there for a long time because of Kumbh Mela. Kumbh Mela was in Ujjain. So that the place where Sandipani Muni ashram is there, that place is known as Ankpath. Today the address says Ankpath. And Ankpath literally means footprints. And Sandipani Muni's ashram was actually a very huge area. Of course, in due course of time, you know, it becomes smaller, people usurp the land for purposes. So and we were fortunate to do, you know, feed prasadam to so many people. We had the best bhandara over here, kind of, you know. Always people were filling up. Continuously people were coming, right? So in this way, this is a Sandipani Muni ashram was just at a 2 minutes walk where we had our camp and we were doing bhandara. Place known as Ankpath. This is a small story I thought I'll just share. Sandipani Muni would just disappear in between the class. You know, in the class was going on, the student will be there. He would disappear and come back in 5-7 minutes. So Krishna and Balaram asked, where do you go in between? He says, I go to perform my Gayatri at the bank of Gomati. Right? In the scripture described that to perform Gayatri at the bank of Gomati is very auspicious. So he would go in meditation, would go to the bank of Gomati, do his Gayatri and come back. So 3 times a day he would disappear for 5-7 minutes. Right? So then Krishna told that when you go there, you leave your khadao over there tomorrow. Leave your, you know, wooden slippers. So anyway, Sandipani Muni knew he requested and he left it. Next day morning, he said, please take your bath here. Gomati mother has come here. So there is a Gomati Kund within Sandipani Muni ashram. Right? And his khadao were found over there. Just a additional as a proof, right? So still there is a Gomati Kund over there. So we also went and did our Gayatri. The Gomati Kund. With the Lord facilitated his spiritual master. He should not have to go all the way, you know. Let the Gomati come over here. That is Sandipani Muni's ashram. A very holy place marked with the lotus footprints of the Lord. So the Lord stayed there for 64 days and learnt various branches of Vedic wisdom. And Prabhupada says, no one but the Supreme Lord can become well-versed in all the branches of Vedic wisdom simply by hearing once from his teacher. Right? Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that, you know, scholarship just by hearing once everything about Sanskrit grammar and, you know, everything about various aspects of learning. Just by hearing once, he would understand it, right? There was no need of any revision for the Lord. So that's, right? And not just that, so first amazing aspect about Krishna pastime is described that he could learn by hearing once. Second amazing thing described here is he could go and bring back the dead body from the region of Yamaraj. Right? Krishna went and blew the conch shell. Right? So this all will be described in the 45th chapter of 10th canto. And brought the. So these are the amazing pastimes. And then Prabhupada says, Krishna did not just perform amazing pastimes, he also performed exemplary pastimes. Right? One thing is that something amazes everyone. Other thing is, are exemplary pastimes. So Prabhupada says again, sixth line of the purport, the Lord is constitutionally well versed in all the Vedas, and yet to teach by example that everyone must go to learn the Vedas from an authorized teacher and must satisfy the teacher by service and reward. Right? So this the Lord set an example. So this is the modern people cannot understand this fact that our grasp of knowledge depends upon the pleasure of somebody else. Right? In modern education there is no such concept. There are books of knowledge, there are online classes, offline classes, you know, whatever you hear and you become knowledgeable, right? But Vedic knowledge is not like that. It depends upon the pleasure of the spiritual master. If the spiritual master is pleased, everything will become, everything will manifest in the heart of the spiritual master, right? Therefore, this is an important thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, Krishna is to be served at every moment, and even more indispensable is service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Right? Indispensable means that cannot be done away with. Indispensable, you cannot dispense that. So you would say, we have to serve Krishna at every moment, but even more indispensable is service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Right? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I cannot walk one step ahead in spiritual life without the support and mercy of the Vaishnavas. Right? So the pleasure of Guru and the Vaishnavas that helps us to understand scriptures, that help us to advance in spiritual life. Right? So the Lord shows by His example by offering service and reward to His spiritual master. Right? So this is very exemplary pastime of the Lord. Then Prabhupada says in the last four lines, the Lord is not therefore an ingrate, ingrate means ungrateful, to anyone who renders him some sort of service. The devotees of the Lord who always engage in His loving service are never to be disappointed in the progressive march of devotional service. In what context now he is talking of Sandipni Muni. Sandipni Muni placed such a request which was not possible for anyone. Said, but the devotees who render service to the Lord, they are never to be disappointed. Prabhupada says, in the progressive march of devotional service. Right? The Lord is never ungrateful. He may take some time. Right? As we discuss, Lord has His own timing, but then the Lord surely takes care of His devotees. Right? And the devotees will never be disappointed. As we discussed yesterday, alpa seva bahu mane atma paryant prasad. That's the nature of the Lord. Text 3. Samahuta bhishmaka kanyaye shriya savarne nabhu shayasham गंधर्व वृत्या मिशताम सभागम जरे पदम मूर्धनि ददत् सुपर्णा.
Attracted by the beauty and fortune of Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, many great princes and kings assembled to marry her. But Lord Krishna, stepping over the other hopeful candidates, carried her away as His own share, as Garuda carried away nectar.
And so this will be described again in chapter 53rd of the 10th canto. This is also very beautiful pastime of the Lord. Right? The Lord was unmarried as of now. Right? And He received His first love letter from Rukmini. Right? Right? So everything is there in Krishna's pastime. And it's mentioned that Lord went very gracefully. How He kidnapped Rukmini was, He went very gracefully and just took Rukmini on the chariot, and everyone was just stunned, you know, just like a lion doesn't have to go hiding and, you know, take the prey. The lion gracefully walks and all the jackals, they go on the side, right? So the Lord very gracefully, like a lion, He just went, took Rukmini on the chariot. And no one could just do anything. Later they attacked from behind and then they were all defeated. Right? But the Lord didn't have to kind of do anything. Very, the great boldness and great courage, the Lord, in front of everyone, right? The Lord kidnapped Rukmini ji. So that pastime will also be described. So Prabhupada says, since the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, third line, is the property of the Supreme Lord, Rukmini was actually meant for Lord Krishna, but Shishupal was selected as her bridegroom by Rukmini's elder brother, although King Bhishmaka wanted his daughter to be married to Krishna. Rukmini invited Krishna to take her away from the clutches of Shishupal. So when the bridegroom Shishupal came there with his party, with the desire to marry Rukmini, Krishna all of a sudden swept her from the scene, stepping over the heads of the princes there, just as Garuda carried away nectar from the hands of the demon. Text 4. Kakudmino vidhanasodamitva Swayamvare nagnajitim uvaha Tadbhagnamanam apigridyato gyan Jagnekshatashastrabhritasushastre.
By subduing seven bulls whose nose were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnajiti in the open competition to select her bridegroom. Although the Lord was victorious, his competitors asked the hand of the princess, and thus there was fight. Well equipped with weapons, the Lord killed or wounded all of them, but he was not hurt himself.
Okay, so Krishna marrying various princes described. Specifically, 50th chapter of 10th canto will describe these pastimes. So, it's mentioned that these seven bulls, their noses were not pierced, right? So, you pierce the nose of the bull with the rope, and that rope controls the bull. The bull otherwise may go wild, right? Especially during the season of the mating, the bull may go wild. So therefore, the bulls are controlled through the nose ropes, right? So it's mentioned that every human being is controlled. This example is given in Bhagavatam. I don't remember the exact reference, but every human being is controlled by the words of the Vedas, just as the bulls are controlled by the ropes passing through their nose. Remember which place is this analogy given? In the first canto itself, right? So, yeah. So the words of the Vedas, that means, just like ordinary, there are some rules and regulations, right? So police will put speed limit 60 kilometers per hour, right? Just some words that control all the vehicles, right? Those who say, I don't care, then what? They are send the challan. I don't care about the chalan. Then you go to the prison house. Right? So what happens? The more one tries to break free from the words of the Vedas, the more one is constrained, actually, if you see. So the words of the Vedas control all human beings. No one can actually be free. A person is, as one tries to become free, he is put into greater and greater restraint. That you can see for the practical example also in this world. Therefore, this bulls had no, they were like uncontrolled, very fierce bulls, right? And Krishna actually brought them under this. Krishna subjugated these bulls, right? Alone, right? There were seven bulls. So Prabhupada writes in context of marriages, you know, of princes, Krishna fighting with the various other princes. Rupa says, in such marriages, usually there were regular fights between the invited princely order in a sporting spirit. And sometimes the belligerent princes were killed in such marriage fightings. And the victorious prince was offered, what? Trophy princess. So Krishna had obtained 16,108 trophies. Right? World record. No one could have, you know, won so many trophies. So Krishna you know, even killing Narakasura, he got at once, in one stroke, 16,108 queens. So like that. Prabhupada said trophy princess. Prabhupada writes the word, right? So in this way, all these pastimes will be discussed in the 10th canto. Text 5. Priyam Prabhur Gramme Iva Priyaya Vidusuraracha Dutaram Yadarthe Vajrayadravattam Sagano Rushandha Krida Mrigonunamayam Vadunam.
Just to please his dear wife, the Lord brought back the Parijata tree from heaven, just as the ordinary husband would do. But Indra, the king of heaven, induced by his wife's, henpecked as he was, ran after the Lord with full force to fight him.
Okay. So, again, this pastime is discussed in 59th chapter of the 10th canto. So, if you see, so the Lord, is Prabhupada writes over here, the Lord once actually after defeating Narakasura, right, he went to the heavenly planets and to return the earrings of Mother Aditi, right, the mother of the demigod. And Satyabhama also went. There was a special Parijat tree over there and Satyabhama desired. Right? So Prabhupada writes, just to please his wife, like an ordinary husband, the Lord brought back the tree. And this enraged Vajri. So for Indra, the word Vajri is used. Right? Because he carried this thunderbolt. So he is very proud of being a Vajri. Right? The carrier of thunderbolt. Prabhupada writes, Indra's wives inspired him to run after the Lord to fight. And Indra, because he was a henpecked husband and also a fool, listened to them and dared to fight with Krishna. He was a fool on this occasion because he forgot that everything belongs to the Lord. And Prabhupada writes again, Prabhupada said, it only appeared that Krishna is also acting as a henpecked husband. So Indra, he thought, you know, Krishna is also a henpecked husband. He's just taking away, you know, just because the wife desired. He forgot that everything belongs to Krishna, right? So then his wife said, you know, our garden will not look beautiful without this tree. Come on, you know, who is a better husband, you know? So he said, so Indra was anyway a henpecked husband, Prabhupada writes. He forgot and ran with great speed to fight with Krishna to bring back, right, the tree for his wives. So Prabhupada writes again. Prabhupada says, there was no fault on the part of the Lord, even though he took away the tree from the heavenly kingdom. But because Indra was henpecked, dominated by his beautiful wives like Sachi, he became a fool. Just as a person who are dominated by their wives are generally foolish. Vishnu Thakur says, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Which Vishwanath Thakur writes, Atmavan Manyate Jagat means, because he himself is henpecked, he thought Krishna is doing this because he is a henpecked husband. And he thought like that. But he forgot that Krishna is the Lord of everything. And Prabhupada very beautifully writes over here in, Indra thought that Krishna was a henpecked husband who only by the will of his wife Satyabhama took away the property of heaven. And therefore he thought that Krishna could be punished. He forgot that the Lord is a proprietor of everything and cannot be henpecked. The Lord is fully independent and by His will only He can have hundreds and thousands of wives like Satyabhama. He was not therefore attached to Satyabhama because she was a beautiful wife. But He was pleased with her devotional service and thus wanted to reciprocate the unalloyed devotion of His devotee. Right? So, again, you know, the Lord he is behaving like a henpecked husband, outwardly it looks, right? But the Lord is, one should have complete faith that the Lord is, he's completely independent, and he's not just behaving, his decision is not based on that. His decision is based upon just reciprocating the pure devotional service, right? So, you know, in this world, we may always judge the action of the Lord or his pure devotees from our external vision, and that could be offensive, just like Indra became offensive. One example given is, a spiritual master may accept the facilities offered by a devotee for his benefit. For his benefit. He is not in need of as such. But some people may think that spiritual master has become dependent upon the service and facilities I am offering. Right? This happens. So we always try to externally see in this world. Right? But Prabhupada writes very clearly that spiritual master is not dependent, he is not in need of, he is not the enjoyer of facilities offered by the disciples. But our vision is always externally contaminated. Right? So, therefore one should not see, the scriptures warn again and again, one should not see the spiritual dimension from one's material vision. Right? A one very striking example is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He considered the body of Sanatan Goswami, which was having itching sores and pus was coming out from the source, to be a spiritual body. Can you imagine? If anyone has the capacity to see some devotee has itching sores and pus is coming out, and there is a, you know, smelling, foul smelling liquid is coming out from the body. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, your body is not material. Your body is completely spiritual. And not saying that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami again and again. Can you imagine? So, therefore, one should see through the eyes of scriptures the ways great souls see, right? The way the Lord demonstrates that those who are completely engaged in the service of the Lord with their body, mind and words, although their body externally may manifest all the symptoms that are manifested by conditioned souls, their body is still completely spiritual, right? Although there may be gutters flowing into Ganga and Yamuna, the water of Ganga and Yamuna is still completely spiritual, right? The potency is not lost. So it's very, very difficult, you know, when you see obvious material contamination, you tend to see from external point of view, and you tend to, you know, have your mentality contaminated by the external visible contamination. But herein, one should not see from external point of view, but one should be careful to always see through the scriptures. Otherwise, one will become offensive like Indra. Right? So that's another beautiful lesson from this pastime. Yes. Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so. There must be many Parijata trees. But, you know, a person who is attached doesn't want to spare one also. You know? And Indra again, you know, Indra again mistook this action as Krishna's, just Krishna is controlled by the wife, you know, just because wife said there is no good reason. He could have asked me or something, you know, from the external point of view, like that. Yeah. Oh, Indra committed many such mistakes, one after another. Right? Yes. Yeah, so, see, it's not just Indra. Indra traits are there within every one of us, in one sense. because we understand that Krishna is Supreme Lord, right? But still the desire to enjoy, it pulls us in this direction, right? So unless there is a serious attempt, right, made, you see, simply knowledge can't just help a person. Indra knew, witnessed everything, right? Duryodhana also witnessed Krishna's power and everything, but the desire to enjoy independent of Krishna is so strong that unless one is striving hard in the direction of becoming free from those desires, and unless one is engaging in devotional service, right, under the guidance of the spiritual master intensely, one can't get free from those desires, right? A person who may be serving Krishna fully and having the full realization may make mistakes, right? And it may be true for anyone, actually. As I said, that I may warn 100 people not to commit a mistake, but I may also end up committing some mistake, because this strong forces of, you know, desire to enjoy, they are very deep rooted, right? And Prabhupada also says that today morning we were reading that if somehow we land up committing some offenses, even a very exalted person, right, we land up committing some offenses to the Vaishnavas, even a person who is very exalted and who may have actually guided and who may be very well situated, and he may himself land himself into trouble, right? So again and again, we also commit many mistakes. It's not that we don't commit. We learn, right, something by mistake, but we again forced to commit the same mistake. We learn, we again forced to commit the same mistake, right? So the inner traits are there in sadhakas also, in one sense. Go to text 6. Sutam ridekham vapushagrasantam dishtvashunovan matitam daritraya amantritastat tanayaya shesham Dattva tadanta purama vishesha.
Narakasur, the son of Dharitri, the earth tried to grasp the whole sky, and for this he was killed by the Lord in a fight. His mother then prayed to the Lord. This led to the return of the kingdom to the son of Narakasur, and thus the Lord entered the house of the demon.
Okay, so Narakasur, also known as Bhaumasur, was born from Mother Earth when she was touched by Lord Varaha. And he was the son of the Lord himself, actually, right? Born from Mother Earth. But he became a demon due to bad association, Prabhupada describes. Bad association of Bana, another demon. So Prabhupada says, an atheist is called a demon, and it is a fact that even a person born of good parents can turn into a demon by bad association. Birth is not always the criteria of goodness. Unless and until one is trained in the culture of good association, one cannot become good. Right? So he had very heavenly ambitions, Narakasura. He stole the earrings of Mother Aditi. He stole the umbrella of Varuna. He stole the playgrounds of the demigods, like that, you know, very major thefts. Heavenly thefts he was committing and all that. Krishna then, the demigods all came and complained, right? And then Krishna took Satyabhama. He said Krishna had given promise to Bhumi Devi, he will not kill his son without her permission. So Bhumi Devi, the expansion of Satyabhama. So Krishna took Satyabhama And then while fighting Narakasura, there was a fight, you know, then the fight is such a climax. Satyavan said, kill him, you know, in that. So then Krishna killed Narakasura. That all will be described in 59th chapter. Right? So Krishna like kind of tricked Satyabhama to give her permission in one sense, who is not different from Bhumi Devi, Dhatri, text 7. Tatrahritasta Naradeva Kanya Kujena Drishtva Harimartha Bandhum Uttaya Sadyo Jagrahu Praharshat Veda Nuraga Prahitavaloke.
There in the house of Daman, all the princes kidnapped by the Narakasura at once became alert upon seeing the Lord, the friend of the distressed. They looked upon him with eagerness, joy and shyness, and offered to be his wives.
Okay. So another important point just came to my mind is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells, I will not hesitate to vanquish anyone who offends my devotees, even though he may be my own son. And the example is given there of Narakasur. Right? So Lord says, I will not hesitate to vanquish anyone who offends my devotees, even though he may be my own son. Right? Their example of Narakasur is given. That is in Chaitanya Bhagavata, that episode comes. So Lord vanquished his own son to show that how he is committed to always protect his devotees, or he is committed to take step against those who trouble his devotees, even though he may be Lord's own son. That's another important point. Text 7. So then the Narakasura had captured so many princes, 16,000 of them. And then when the Narakasura was killed, they all looked upon the Lord with eagerness, joy, shyness. And with their glances and eagerness, they offered themselves to become his wives, is mentioned over here. And Krishna has been mentioned as here in Harim Artha Bandhum, the only friend of the distressed. Right? Prabhupada writes in the Upper Body, the only friend of the distressed. Right? So they will not be accepted by anyone. Prabhupada writes, that was a social custom. So therefore, Krishna accepted all of them. Right? So this is all described in chapter 59th. Asam muhurta ekasmin nanagareshu yoshitam savidam jagrahe panin anurupasamajaya.
All those princes were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency.
Okay, so he accepted, so he actually formally, according to the regulation, Savidham, the word mentioned third line of the text said, Savidham Jagrahe Panin. According to the regulation of marriage, in Vivaha Samskar, he accepted everyone's hand. Right? He expanded himself. Right? 16,100 Havan Kunds and marriages took place simultaneously. Right? So like that. So Krishna created actually many world records in one sense, you know. Simultaneously 16,100 marriages taking place, Havan Kund, you know. And so no one could. So it's described by Prabhupada in the middle of the purport, by his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personality of Swayam Prakash and again into Prabhav and Vaibhav forms, and all of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhav Vilas forms of the Lord and are affected by his internal potency Yogamaya. So this Sanatana is also give quite a detailed description of various expansions, right, that you will be studying. Yeah, so I don't know the details of it. That's what is mentioned. They were slightly different to match each and every one of them. You know. Okay, text 19, chapter 60. Yeah, so this Krishna's marrying all of them described again in the chapter 59. There are a number of verses from chapter 59, 10th canto. Text 9. Tasva apatyani ajanayad atmatulyani sarvatah ekaikasyam dasha dasha prakrite vibhushaya.
Just to expand himself according to his transcendental features, the Lord begot in each and every one of them 10 offspring with exactly his own qualities.
Okay, so that is described in chapter 61st of 10th canto. Text 10. Kalamagada shalvadin anikairundhatapuram ajighnat swayam divyam sopum sam teja adishat.
Kalyavan, the king of Magad, and Salva attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men.
Okay, so so this barbarian king, Prabhupada writes, barbarian king, right, over there, Kalyavan. After Jarasandha was defeated for 17 times, he was preparing to attack the 18th time. Before he could attack, this Kalyavan attacked with his 30 million soldiers, right, huge army. And Jarasandha was preparing to attack from the other side. So Krishna thought, you know, if we are fighting with one, then the another. So at this point of time, this is described in the 50th chapter. At this point of time, when the attack was on the one was attacking, other was just preparing to attack from the other side, Krishna decided to create Dwarka so that he can transfer all his associates safely in Dwarka, right? And it would be formidable. It would not be, the enemies would not be able to access it. So that, in response to these two attacks, Krishna had created Dwarka. Right? So then, but Krishna didn't immediately kill Kalyavan and Jarasandha. Even after he transferred all the associates to Dwarka, why didn't he not kill? What is mentioned over here? Just to show the power of his own men. Just to show the power of his own men. So Prabhupada writes, so he got Kalyavan killed by Mushukunda and he got Jarasandha killed by Bhima, who acted as agents of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the sixth or seventh line, by such acts the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees, as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Then Prabhupada writes a few lines ahead, the battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the devotee was designed by the Lord himself just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna. Namitramatram bhava savya sachin. He played the part of charioteer while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plan, he executes through his confidential devotees. This is the way of the Lord's mercy toward his pure unalloyed devotees. This is something very amazing point. I'll just read what Prabhupada writes in 3.143 also, very similar. Why the Lord waited for so long and he didn't punish the transgressors, you know, Dushasan and company, they offended Draupadi. Prabhupada writes in the last paragraph, this is verse 43rd, first chapter of this canto, last 5-6 lines. The Lord always wants to see his devotees as the hero of some episode which he himself performs. He wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. And thus he waited for all the miscreants of the world to assemble. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. Right? So this is like one of the very, very important reasons for Krishna even to tolerate the aggressors for some point of time, so that his devotees may become hero. Right? So there is a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is in the Antar Leela, fourth or fifth chapter. If you want, I'll describe this and you can find out. Where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhakta guna prakashite prabhu bhala jane, nana bhangite guna prakashi nija labh mane. The Lord knows very well how to bring out the good qualities of his devotees and how to glorify his devotees. Prabhupada writes, just like a painter knows how to bring out a beautiful creation, a beautiful painting, the Lord, like an expert artist, brings out or projects the good qualities of a devotee to the whole world. Right? Or rather, the next line says, Nana bhangite gun prakashi nij labh mane. The Lord devises various strategies and schemes. Nana bhangite means the Lord devises, right, various strategies and schemes so that his devotees may be glorified. And he considers that to be his personal profit. Can you imagine? Therefore, Prabhupada is writing that such is the, Prabhupada said, the relationship of the Lord with his devotees in this purport is a very happy one. It's very deep, intimate, sweet. Right? So, this verse, I'll just quickly tell you the verse number also. You found out? Sorry? 5.82, the verse which I recited. Right? So, the Lord is planning how his devotees will be glorified. Systematic planning. At one place, Prabhupada writes, Lord engineers his pastimes. Systematic engineering of his pastime. What is the main component? His devotees may be glorified. Right? It's very amazing actually. That's one of the concerns of the Lord. And when his devotees are glorified, he becomes very happy and he considers that to be his personal profit. That's what Prabhupada writes in the translation, right? Lord considered that to be his personal profit, right? So, actually, the reciprocation of emotions between Krishna and the devotees is the highest opulence of the spiritual world, actually. You must understand. Again, this Siddhanta comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita only. The highest opulence of the spiritual world is the reciprocation of these sweet emotions between the Lord and the devotees, right? Which is constantly going on. Go to text 11. Shambaram duvidambanam मुरम बलवलमेव च अन्यांशदंत वक्रादिन अवधीत काम शघातयत।
ऑफ किंग्स लाइक सांब्रा द्विविदा बाना मूरा बलवला एंड मेनी अदर डीमंस सच एज दंतवक्र सम ही किल्ड हिमसेल्फ एंड सम ही कॉज टू बी किल्ड बाई अदर्स श्री बलदेव एटसेट्रा।
ओके सो अगेन दिस द रिमेम्बरेंसेस ऑफ द लॉर्ड पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ मथुरा एंड द्वारका। सो ही किल्ड सम ऑफ दिस डीमन एंड सम ऑफ डीमन आर किल्ड बाय बलदेव एटसेट्रा एटसेट्रा। So others also who were involved in the killing of these demons. Like for example, the demon Shambhara was killed by Pradyumna. That is described in 55th chapter of 10th canto. Dvivida was killed by Balramji, 67th chapter. Bana was killed by... Bana was only punished. Bana was not killed. Bana was only punished because he was associate of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva begged pardon on his behalf. And Krishna didn't kill him. Out of 1,000 arms, he severed 996 arms and left him 400. Krishna gave him 400 form because he was dear to Lord Shiva. Right? That is 63rd chapter of 10th canto. Then who killed Balvala? Balramji. On the request of the sages of Nemisharanya, right, as atonement kind of, you kill this demon. Then, who else? Dantavakra, Mura. What about Mura? Mura was killed by Krishna before Narakasura. Mura had fortified the palace of Narakasura from all sides. Mura was associated with Narakasura, 59th chapter of 10th canto. Then, who else? Dantavakra, Adin. Adin means Dantavakra and Vidurasa. These two were killed by Krishna himself, that is described in 78th chapter, before Krishna went to Vrindavan. After killing Dantavakra and Vidurasa, Krishna immediately, he killed them in Mathura, and then immediately from there he went to Vrindavan, which is not described in the Bhagavatam, but elaborately described in Padma Puran, how Krishna went to Vrindavan. Right? So there are reasons why it is not described in Bhagavatam, that will unfold later. Okay, we go to text 12. Atate bhratrputranam pakshayo patitan nipan chachal bhukurukshetram yesham aap tatam bale.
Then, O Vidura, the Lord caused all the kings, both the enemies and those on the side of your fighting nephews, to be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All those kings were so great and strong that the earth seemed to shake as they traversed the war field.
So the battle of Kurukshetra, he's just remembering that how this all the very strong kings, right, they all became a party to the Kauravas, some of them even to the Pandavas, right? A very strong king. Then all of them actually, except the Pandavas, were destroyed, right? This is Mahabharata. When Mahabharata is going on, Bhagavatam is describing Balramji's pilgrimage. Right? Balram left for pilgrimage. And that is described in Bhagavatam. This fight and all that details are not described in Bhagavatam as such. Right? It's a Mahabharata subject. 13th. Sakarna Dushasan Shabalanam Kumantra Pakena Hat Sakarna Dushasan Shabalanam Kumantra Pakena Hat Shriya Yusham Suyodhanam Sanucharam Shayanam Bagno Rumurvyam Nanananda Pashyan.
Duryodhan was bereft of his fortune and duration of life because of the intricacy of ill advice given by Karna, Dushasan and Subala. When the lay on the ground with his followers, his thigh broken, although he was powerful, the Lord was not happy to see the scene.
Okay, so Duryodhana lying on the battlefield, his thigh is broken, and Hata Shri Ayusham, deprived of all his opulences of his life. Right? Duryodhan and Suyodhan, Suyodhanam, here name Suyodhan is used. They actually have the same connotation. Suyodhan means, Yodhan means to fight. Suyodhan means one who is expert in fighting. So his name was Suyodhan, but he was also called, he himself was calling, or some of his friends were calling or whatever, Duryodhan. Duryodhan is difficult to fight with. So it was kind of a, you know, the meaning. But anyway, the Vaishnava said, he was plotting ill all the time, you know. So who had ill plots, ill motives, that is also the name of Duryodhan in one sense, which is another meaning as per his qualities. Right? But he would call himself Duryodhan, or his friend, that he is difficult to fight with. So the word Suyodhan or Duryodhan have the same connotation in one sense. So, yeah, so he was deprived of his all opulences in the life. And this mentioned important point here, Bhagnorum Urvayam Nanand Pashyan. Nanand, the Lord was not happy to see this condition of Duryodhana. Right? The Lord was happy to see that the rightness, that the kingdom of Maharaj Yudhishthir has been established, but was not rejoicing over the situation of Duryodhana. So Prabhupada gives again beautiful purport. The fall of Duryodhana, the leading son of Dhritarashtra, was not pleasing to the Lord, although he was on the side of Arjuna, and it was he who advised Bhima how to break the thighs. See, it was only he knew how to, you know, he advised Bhima everything. It was by his plan, but he is not happy still. Right? So Prabhupada says, the Lord is constrained to award punishment upon the wrongdoer, but he is not happy to award such punishments because the living entities are originally his parts and parcels. Right? He is harder than the thunderbolt for the wrongdoer and softer than the rose for the faithful. The wrongdoer is misled by bad associates and by ill advice, which is against the established principles of the Lord's order, and thus he becomes subject to punishment. The surest path of happiness is to live by the principles laid down by the Lord and not disobey his established laws, which are enacted in the Vedas and the Puranas. Right? So, one important thing is, when living entities suffer so many reverses, so many tribulations in this world, one should not think that the Lord is personally giving punishment to all living entities in one sense. Just like the head of the state is not personally prosecuting each citizen, there is a system of judicial law and order, and you know the miscreants are punished and everything. Right? Similarly, it is by the system the Lord has created by which by the laws of the nature, right? Those who try to violate the established laws of religion, they are punished by the laws of nature. Right? So it is not that the Lord is personally awarding punishment, etc. It is the material nature. But when some citizen actually perform good work, then a prime minister may personally come to give reward. He doesn't go to personally punish. Similarly, the Lord personally nourishes his devotees, although he doesn't personally punish the wrongdoers. Right? So that is one important thing. Secondly, although the Lord is aloof in this material world, like people go and sometimes feel, you know, the Lord has sent this calamity and all that, it is most of the calamities that occur here is by the laws of action and reaction. Mother material nature reacts. right? And people go and saying that, oh, you know, why did Krishna did this, why did Krishna did that, as if, you know, Krishna is personally sending. No, Krishna is aloof from the working of Prabhupada writes. So when the natural calamities come, one has to understand Krishna is aloof from the working of the material nature. All this punishment is by the working of material nature. But still, although Krishna is aloof, he is not unaware. He is not unconcerned. Although he is aloof, he is not unaware and unconcerned. Therefore, out of his concern, Krishna sends his devotees. He has given the scriptures. He makes so many arrangements. He comes himself so many times, so that the living entities can be rescued. Right? Any other place where the Lord unhappiness is expressed? Like here it said the Lord was not happy to see Duryodhana. Any other place you remember where the Lord's unhappiness upon seeing the miseries of the conditioned soul is expressed? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord tells Haridas Thakur, Haridas kali kale yavana apar go brahmanne himsa kare mahadurachar. Lord says in Kali Yuga, Haridas kali kale yavana apar, everyone is against the principle of Vedic. They are yavanas, against the principle of Vedic civilization. Go brahmanne himsa kare mahadurachar. They inflict violence upon the cows and the brahmanas. Mahadurachar. Iha sabar kon mate hai be nishtar. Tar hetu na dekhiye e dukh apar. The Lord says, how will they be delivered? I don't see any means of their deliverance. Therefore, I am e dukh apar. Therefore, I have this is bothering me. That how will they be delivered, right? So, this is a beautiful conversation. The Lord expresses his unhappiness to Haridas Thakur on seeing the condition of these yavanas of Kali Yuga. Right? So, therefore, the Lord, as Prabhupada says, he is not happy to avoid such punishment because the living entities are originally his parts and parcels. But he is constrained to do so. Right? And he does that through the agency of material nature, through the established system. Text 14. Kiyan bhuvoyam shipato rubaro. Yadrona Bhishmarjuna Bhima Mule Ashtadashakshon Nihiko Madamsher Aste Balam Durvisaham Yadunam.
After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, the abandonment of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshashoni, has now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden.
Okay, so we'll discuss that. There are related verses also. You can take a break and we'll continue.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare.
Okay, so we are discussing text 14. I'll read the translation once again. The abatement of the, abatement means removal. Abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshahonis has now been affected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? The Lord is thinking, there is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty born of myself, which may be more unbearable burden. This has to be carefully understood. So Prabhupada explains, first of all, Prabhupada explains in the first paragraph that it is a wrong theory that due to an increase in population, the world becomes overburdened. And therefore, there are wars and other annihilating processes. Prabhupada said the earth is never overburdened by population. He says, there are so many living entities living in the ocean, within the mountains. There are so many big mountains. Earth is never overburdened. And Prabhupada says, if, very beautifully Prabhupada points out in the fifth line, if a census were taken of all the living beings on the surface of earth, certainly it would be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of living beings. Where is the question of overburdening of earth, Prabhupada says. Then, what is the earth overburdened by? That second paragraph Prabhupada says, the earth became overburdened due to dharma glani or irregular discharge of the Lord's desire. Okay. The Lord appeared on the earth to curb the increase in miscreants and not the increase in population. Right? It's an important line. The Lord appeared on earth to curb the increase in miscreants and not the increase in population, as is wrongly put forward by mundane economists. Then, two or three lines ahead, the material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and His desire is that the conditioned soul who are unfit to enter into the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their conditions for entering. The material world is not given a chance to improve their economic condition or, you know, etc. Process, they should improve their condition for entering the kingdom. That is the purpose of the material world. And then Prabhupada further says in the next paragraph, therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of earth, if the people are exactly in line with God consciousness and are not miscreants, such a burden on the earth is a source of pleasure for her. The more the righteous population, the more is the pleasure, is not a burden. Then Prabhupada describes two kinds of burden, the burden of the beast and the burden of love. The burden of the beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is a source of pleasure. Right? Suppose a businessman, he has a huge suitcase filled with currency or gold, you know, whatever. You know, and that burden is a source of great pleasure, right? He doesn't want to part with that burden. Right? That burden he would like to carry and not, you know, share with anyone. So that is the burden of love. That example is given. So then Prabhupada says, then how, why this verse says that Krishna is saying, my Yadu dynasty, they are all righteous people. How can they be unbearable burden? Right? They all the Krishna's devotees will be source of pleasure for the earth. So Prabhupada clarifies that in the last 3-4 lines. When he referred to the unbearable heaviness on the earth in connection with the Yadu dynasty, he was referring to the burden of their separation. Srila Jiva Goswami confirmed this inference. So Krishna is referring that they will, due to my separation, all the Yadus, they will feel such intense pain, and in their intense pain they may go actually mad. And Mother Earth may not be able to bear the pain of the separation which they will experience. Right? Or they may just create havoc due to feelings of pain of separation. Right? So it's not the burden of the beast. Rather, all the Yadavas would be a burden of love. But Krishna didn't want that their pain and what they may do in their feelings of, you know, because they're so powerful, in their pain of separation, what they may do. So Krishna didn't want to take that chance. Right? So that should be understood. So therefore Krishna all decided to remove all the Yadavas from the surface of the earth. Text 15. Mitho yadesham bhavita vivado madhuva madatamra vilochananam nasham vadopaya iyanatunyo mayudyate antar dadate svayam sma.
Mayudyate antar dadate svayam sma. When they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication, with their eyes red like copper because of drinking madhu, then only will they disappear. Otherwise, it will not be possible on my disappearance. This incident will take place.
Okay. So, Prabhupada says the Lord and the associates appear and disappear by the will of the Lord. They are not subjugated to the laws of material nature. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord, nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was the make show of fight among themselves, as if brawling in intoxication due to drinking. That so-called fighting would also take place by the will of the Lord. Right? That's the main important thing. So the Acharyas have given this 11th canto, this Mosha Leela will be discussed in the very beginning of 11th canto. And Acharyas have given very extensive purpose from various perspectives discussing this Mosha Leela. But it comes down that how, you know, there are many perspectives from the lesson point of view. Right? So there is one important thing is, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has pointed out many important that some of the Yadavas, they became familiar with Krishna, right? And so there were some Yadavas who conspired against Krishna also, as we know from Shamantaka Jewel episode, right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives many such purports for the sake of lessons, right? So, but one should be careful that when lessons are given, one should be able to take the lesson without minimizing the position of the Lord associates. Similarly, Lord Brahma is used as an instrument for giving many lessons, but Lord Brahma is very confidential associate. He is Acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya or Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So one should have the maturity to take the lesson that Acharyas give, but not minimize the position of Lord associate. That would be offensive. Right? So therefore these Yadavas, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given many important lessons for sadhakas, but we should know that the Yadavas were faultless, right? Being Lord associates. Even if they acted in some wrong way, etc., then that was due to the will of the Lord. The Lord desired that they leave this world like this, right? And the will of the Lord is inconceivable. Just see the Lord, how did he withdrew his associates? He made them fight with each other after drinking liquor. Killed each other, you know, it's like a most unceremonious way. You know, one may keep breaking one's head, you know, why did the Lord do like this? Samudra mein duba ke mara diye hote to bhi itna bura nahi. Charo taraf samudra hai. Right? We may go on breaking, but it's Lord's will is inconceivable. Right? So therefore, one should not break head against understanding the Lord's will. Right? Nahi asya kar hichit rajan puman ved vidishtam. Right? So Vishwanatha Thakur there strongly says, someone may say, how can I surrender to Krishna, you know, and not understand his will? Even if you cannot understand his will, I should make an attempt to understand his will. Vishwanatha Thakur says, no, give up all your attempts, he says, to understanding Krishna's will. So he is like very strongly put forth. Said, if you attempt to Krishna's will, you will simply be bewildered. Right? Therefore, so it's like another very, you know, in a very unceremonious way, Krishna withdrew his close associates from the surface, right? Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the last 3-4 lines of Purport of 15, devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastime. Right? So all the, even you see Vidurji, Uddhavji, none of the survivors of the Lord associates, they complained against the ways the Lord acted. Right? They all cooperated with the Lord. Text 16. एवं संचिन्तया भगवान् स्वराज्ये स्थाप्य धर्मजम् नन्दादयम् आस सौहृदा साधूनां वर्त्म दर्शयन्
साधूनां. Lord Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhishthir in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety.
Right, so Lord Krishna wanted to, as he established Maharaj Yudhishthir so that people can walk on the sadhu naam vartma darshayan. Lord Krishna wanted that everyone to follow or to take the path which is taken by the saintly people, sadhu naam vartma darshayan. Right? So that's the Lord's desire. Text 17. Uttarayam dhritapuror mamsha sadhu abhimanyuna सवैद्रोण्यस्त्र संप्लुष्टा पुनर्भगवताधृता.
The embryo of Puru's descendant, begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona, but later he was again protected by the Lord.
Okay, so Prabhupada says in this pastime the Lord displayed both omnipotence and omnipresence. First of all, the embryo's body had been destroyed. Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna gave the embryo a new body, a second body, by his omnipotence. And Krishna, while present outside, was also present within the womb of Uttara. And thus he showed his omnipresence. Right? Text 18. अयाजयद् धर्मसुतम् अयाजयद् धर्मसुतम् अश्वमेधस्त्रिभिः सोपीक्ष्माम् अनुजय रक्षन् रेमे कृष्णं मनुव्रतः.
The Supreme Lord induced the son of Dharma to perform 3 horses sacrifice. And Maharaj Yudhishthir, constantly following Krishna, the personality of Godhead, protected and enjoyed the earth, assisted by his younger brothers.
Okay, again Prabhupada talks about the monarchical regime. Maharaj Yudhishthir was the ideal monarchical representative on the earth because he was a constant follower of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Right? That's the first qualification of a person, or any actually leader in one sense, that he should be a constant follower of the Lord. Then towards the last 5-6 lines, Prabhupada says, perfect monarchy necessitates representation of the supreme will of the Lord. Right? So, and Maharaj Yudhishthir was the ideal monarch on the supreme principle. So carrying out the will of the Lord, Prabhupada describes that as to be the supreme principle. The supreme governing principle. Guru text 19. Bhagavan api Vishvatma Lokaveda Pathanuga Kaman Shisheve Dwarvatyam
Asakta Sankhyam Asthita. Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwarka, strictly in conformity with the Vedic custom of society. He was situated in detachment and knowledge, as initiated by the Sankhya system of philosophy.
Okay, so it's mentioned that the Lord enjoyed his life in conformation with the Vedic custom of society. He was situated in detachment as knowledge, as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. So Prabhupada says, first of all, Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna was known as the king of Dwarka, therefore known as Dwarkadhish. Like other subordinate kings, he was under the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir was the ruler of the entire planet, entire Jambudvip. Right? And Krishna acted as a subordinate king to Maharaj Yudhishthir. Right? That is first point Prabhupada makes. And then Prabhupada talks about knowledge and renunciation. Regulated human life according to the Vedic principles, which are based on the system of knowledge called Sankhya philosophy, is the real way of enjoyment of the necessities of life. Without such knowledge, detachment and custom, the so-called human civilization is no more than an animal society. The Lord was acting freely as He willed, yet by His practical example He taught not to lead a life which goes against the principle of detachment and knowledge. Okay. And then go ahead 2-3 lines. Then Prabhupada says, knowledge means to know that the mission of the human form of life is to end all miseries of material existence. Right? And detachment means that one lives a regulated life. Right? Or detachment from sense gratification. So knowledge is the knowledge of the mission of the human form of life, and detachment from sense gratification or regulating one's necessities. So in this way the Lord showed the importance of knowledge and detachment. Right? So the knowledge and detachment are actually part of devotional service. Right? In one sense, although they are not included as angas of devotional service as such, but they are not excluded, right? A favorable knowledge and renunciation is, Prabhupada describes as renunciation of objects which is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, that is included in the devotional service, right? Because pure devotional service is defined as Gyan Karma Anavritam. They are not the principal factors. They should not cover over. The prime concern is to serve and satisfy Krishna. Because knowledge and detachment, the favorable knowledge, cultivation of favorable knowledge and detachment helps. Right? So they are assisting principles and not main. Anavritam means, like someone may say, to practice bhakti, I will first cultivate knowledge and detachment. I will go and perform a severe austerity so that I may become detached from worldly concept of life. And then I will come. That is not bhakti. Bhakti means primary concern to satisfy Krishna. Right? So therefore, that detachment will help with that primary purpose. That is not covering the main bhakti, which is to hear, chant, worship Krishna. So it doesn't cover. Anavritam means that which is not covering the bhakti. The bhakti remains the prominent. And this knowledge and detachment remain the supportive system to bhakti. Right? So therefore, but anything which is part of the devotional service is also included and understood to be like a devotional service. Right? So therefore, the bhakti endowed with knowledge and renunciation, such terms are used. Right? Just in this context, I just will read one translation of 12th canto verse, which I shared with you. Avismriti Krishna Padaravindayor, 12:12:55. I am reading the translation, a beautiful translation. Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest good fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul along with, right, devotion along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. So by practicing bhakti as a primary limb, one is endowed with devotion to the Lord along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. Right? This is not dry knowledge, it's not shushka gyan. Realized knowledge is renunciation from everything that doesn't foster Krishna consciousness. It's not renunciation for the sake of renunciation. It's not Falgu Vairagya. Right? So there's a difference. So the knowledge and renunciation, which are part of the devotional service, that favorable one, are qualitatively different from knowledge and renunciation of the jnanis and the yogis, which is condemned actually. There is a qualitative difference between the two. But still, this knowledge and renunciation are a secondary factor. That's the important thing. It is by the Lord's mercy, even without separate endeavor, this knowledge and renunciation manifests. Right? But as practitioners, we still practice it along with our practice of devotional service. So that is mentioned. Text 20. Snigdhasmitavalokena Vachapiyushakalpaya Charitrenanvaddena Shriniketana Chatmana.
He was there in his transcendental body, the residence of the goddess of fortune, with his usual gentle and sweetly smiling face, his nectarian words and his flawless character.
Okay, so these beautiful qualities the Lord had described, these are a very beautiful verse. Snigdha smita valokena. Right, so Prabhupada says, Smigdha smita valokena means gentle and sweetly smiling face. Right? Devotee should try to meditate and try to develop this quality. Right? A gentle and sweetly smiling face. Smita means smile, avalokan means a glance. Snigdha, it was gentle. So the Lord has a gentle and a sweet smile on his face. Vacha piyushakalpaya, his words were nectarian, right? Sweet. Charitra anavaddena, his character was flawless. Right? Shi Niketana Chatmana, and he was a residence of Goddess of Fortune. So the four things are described. Even it is described that the devotees of Vrindavan who were residing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they had Madhur Vachan, Madhur Cheshta. Madhur means sweet. Their voice was sweet, all their endeavors were very sweet. Right? Their demeanor was very sweet, gentle. Right? So the devotees should meditate upon these qualities of the Lord. Right? Sweet in speaking, sweet and gentle in demeanor, sweet in one's endeavors, you know, not very aggressive and giving pain to others. Right? Madhur Cheshta, Madhur Vachan. So like that, these qualities are described. Here also these qualities are described over here, the Lord's qualities. Right? So therefore this is an important verse. Right? Chrit anavaddena means that cannot be without any flaw. Vacha piyushakalpaya, nectarian compared to nectar. So, Prabhupada says in the present verse, the third line, it is described that he is a resident of Goddess of Fortune. These two things, so first of all, Prabhupada says, the last line says he is fixed in knowledge and renunciation. Now he is described as the resident of Goddess of Fortune. That means the abode of all opulences. One side said he is fixed in renunciation, other side is the abode of all the Goddess of Fortune. So Prabhupada says these two things are not contradictory. Lord Krishna is detached from the variegatedness of the inferior nature, but he is in eternal blissful enjoyment of the spiritual nature. Right? And then again Prabhupada says, I think that is in the next, right? That (clears Prabhupada says, if you see the sixth last line of the purport, negation of the variegatedness of inferior energy does not necessitate negation of the positive transcendental bliss of the spiritual world. Right? That's the mistake committed by the Shunyavadis and all. Right? In this material world, all the variegated of inferior energy simply produces variegated problems. Therefore, Prabhupada says, but negation of variegatedness of inferior energy does not necessitate negation of the positive transcendental bliss of the spiritual world. That's an important line over here. 21. Yes, the variegatedness when we use in the service of Krishna, that generates variegatedness of transcendental bliss for the Lord. Imam lokam mumcheva ramayam sutaram yadun remeshana dayadatta shanastri kshanasohrida.
The Lord enjoyed his pastime both in this world and in other worlds, higher planets, specifically in the association of the Yadus dynasty. At leisure hours offered by night, he enjoyed the friendship of conjugal love with women.
So the Prabhupada says, the Lord enjoyed in this world with his pure devotees. Although he is the personality of Godhead and is transcendental to all material attachments, he nevertheless exhibited much attachment for his pure devotees on the earth, as well as for the demigods who engage in his service in the heavenly planets. So, Prabhupada says, although the Lord is transcendental to all attachment, he nevertheless exhibited much attachment for his pure devotees. So, one should understand the Lord is completely detached, at the same time, very much attached to his devotees. But this attachment is not against the principle of detachment, because this attachment is spiritual attachment to his devotees. Right? So, therefore, the two are not contradictory. So Prabhupada says, he displayed special attachment for his family member, the Yadus, as well as for his 16,000 wives who had the opportunity to meet him in the leisure hours of night. All these attachments of the Lord are manifestations of his internal potency, of which the external potency is only a shadow representation. So and then Prabhupada says, fourth last line of the purport, the 16,000 cowherd damsels. Now, there is a Purana, Skand Purana talks of Krishna meeting with 16,000 cowherd damsels. Right? So, this in one sense, 16,000 queens were also expansion of the gopis. So, Prabhupada writes over here in the 16,000 cowherd damsels are a display of 16 varieties of internal potencies. Right? That's the insight Prabhupada gives. This will be more elaborately explained in the 10th canto. 22nd. Tasevam rama manasya samvatsara ganan bahun grahamedheshu yogeshu viraga samajayata.
The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from empirical sex life was fully manifested.
Okay, so again, this verse has to be understood carefully. The Lord is never attached, but he acts just like his attached husband. Right? So he acts as his attached husband. Now, because this material world, ultimately one should become detached. So the Lord acts as if he is detached. Although he is always internally attached on a spiritual platform to his devotees. That attachment is constant of the Lord on a spiritual plane. But externally he shows he is very much attached. And then to show the conditioned soul that one should become detached. So these are his exemplary pastime. So therefore, he manifests external detachment also. Right? Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, one should naturally develop detachment as a matter of course. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates. Text 23. Devadhineshu kameshu Devadhina swayam puman Ko vishrambheta yogena Yogeshwaram manuvrata.
Every living entity is controlled by a supernatural force, and thus his sense enjoyment is also under the control of that supernatural force. No one therefore can put his faith in Lord Krishna's transcendental sense activities, but one who has become a devotee of the Lord by rendering devotional service.
So accepts the devotee of the Lord, no one can understand these sense activities of the Lord is mentioned. But the sense activities of the Lord are always actually with the spiritual senses, which are all transcendental to the mode of the material nature. Right? So devotees alone can understand that. Prabhupada says in the last three lines of the purport, one cannot know even a fraction of the activities of the Lord if he is not a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? So the Lord reveals actually the transcendental nature of his pastimes in proportion to one's development of devotional service. There is another meaning Vishwanath Thakur gives of this verse, which is quite interesting. He said, the Lord whose activities were not under the control of karma, the laws of karma, that Lord, he became detached from his activities, right? He manifested, although he was not under the law of karma. Then what man whose activities are under the control of law of karma, what man will remain attached to the material objects and material activities? Right? So therefore, material world, one may perform his activities as long as, you know, it is required and one can align the activities in with Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, one should become detached from all the worldly activities of this world, right? Which are in relation to the one's relationship or one's material upadhis, etc. Right? So ultimately, one has to become detached. So when the Lord, whose activity is not under control of karma, he manifested detachment externally, then why should others not follow who are anywhere under the control of law of karma? Right? So everyone should manifest that detachment. That is also Vishwanath Thakur indicates in this verse. Puryam kadachit kridat bhir yadu bhoja kumarake kopitam munayashe pur Bhagavan Matako Vida.
Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the supporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadus and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them.
Okay, again by the Lord's own will, the Yadus, they disrespected the sages and the sages cursed them, right? And even if the sages, first of all, the sages, again, by the will of the Lord, the sages cursed them, because, again, it is described by Acharyas, even if the sages curse them, the Lord's associates are not under the jurisdiction of curses of the Brahmanas. They were powerful Brahmanas, just like the example is given of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj thought that here is a Vaishnava who is under my jurisdiction. So he cursed and himself got into trouble. So important point that comes is the Vaishnavas are not under the jurisdiction of Brahmana's curses. They are above them. And if some Brahmana wants to bring them under their jurisdiction, he will invite trouble for himself. But herein, so the sages actually have no power to curse Lord associates. When they pronounce, it will not take effect. They themselves will land in trouble in one sense. But here the curse would take effect and they could curse only by Lord's will. So that also shows. Right? It was another purpose, another transcendental pastime of the Lord. The whole thing was orchestrated by the Lord. Text 25. Tata kati payarma sir. Vrishni bhojandakadaya. Yayu prabhasam samvrishta. Rathair deva vimohita.
A few months passed and then, bewildered by Krishna, all the descendants of Vrishni, Bhoj and Andhaka, who were incarnation of demigods, went to Prabhasa. While those who were eternal devotees of the Lord did not leave but remained in Dwarka.
Okay, so here was a separation of the demigod portion from the eternal associates. All the demigod portions who had combined, they went to Prabhasa. The Lord said, that is a very holy place. Right, we should go and perform charities and yajnas over there and counteract the curse of the Brahmanas. Right? But the eternal associates remained in Dwarka and they remained unseen by others. And the demigod portion, they went back to their respective posts. 26. Tatrasnatva pitrindevan rishimschaiva tadambhasa tarpitvath viprebhyo gavo bahu guna daduhu.
After arriving there, all of them took bath, and with the water of this place of pilgrimage, they offered their respects to the forefathers, demigods and great sages, and thus satisfied them. They gave cows to the Brahmanas in royal charity.
Right, so their activities at Prabhasa are described, and Prabhupada says, among the devotees of the Lord, there are several divisions, mainly Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas. The Nitya Siddhas never fall down to the region of material atmosphere, even though they sometimes come onto the material plane to execute the mission of the Lord. Right? So two things about Nitya Siddhas said, they never fall down, but they may come to execute some mission of the Lord. The Sadhana Siddhas are chosen from the conditioned souls. Of the Sadhana Siddhas, there are two kinds again. They are mixed and pure devotees. The mixed devotees are sometimes enthusiastic about fruitive activities and are habituated to philosophical speculation. The pure devotees are free from all these mixtures and are completely absorbed in the service of the Lord, regardless of how and where they are situated. Pure devotees of the Lord are not enthusiastic to put aside their service to the Lord in order to go visit holy places of pilgrimage. A great devotee of the Lord in modern time, Shri Narottam Das Thakur, has sung like this. To visit holy places of pilgrimage is another bewilderment of the mind, because devotional service to the Lord at any place is the last word in spiritual perfection. We say, what is this? We are discussing Vidura's pilgrimage. Right? So this pilgrimage is pilgrimage. Ordinary people go on pilgrimage for ordinary piety. That's also that. Pure devotees may sometime go on pilgrimage for higher purpose, right? Of either higher spiritual realization or helping others to gain that higher spiritual realization. Right? So that is different. But in general, pilgrimage in its rudimentary meaning is condemned by Narottam Das Thakur, which is go and, you know, wash your paps and gain punya. So that is what is. But the pilgrimage for higher realization is never condemned, in one sense. Right? So, yeah. So in this way, the two kind of devotees, Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddhas, and among the two Sadhana Siddhas, and so therefore, those who were very enthusiastic to go and perform rituals and all that, they were like a mixed devotees, Sadhana Siddhas. Yeah. Basically, one should see, if there is opportunity to perform devotional service in the association of devotees, right, in a place, and a person goes alone on pilgrimage to gather some punya, what is the use of that? Right? There are many devotees whom Prabhupada offered some service, right, in the association of devotees, they continue to perform. Just like Janavas Prabhu and Pangajangri Prabhu, of course they are in a holy place, but they didn't visit any other holy place, they just continued the service. Not just because they are in holy place, but they for like 30 years, they never went to Vrindavan also. They were just in Mayapur serving the deities, hearing and chanting with the devotees. Right? That is sufficient. Just to, oh, that I have to visit that place also, I should not miss, I should go and kummel and take dips also, right? I should not miss that. So that to gain punya, so many people said, no, there is no need. You are situated here serving Krishna, hearing and chanting with devotees, that is sufficient. Right? But if there is opportunity to go and hear and chant in the holy place, in the association of devotees, it is the same activity. So that is never condemned. Right? The rudimentary understanding, as I said, that is being addressed. In Bengal especially, you know, even till today, in Kummel I see so many Bengalis come. Bengal, you know, there is a culture of, so many people have a, that is better than ordinary materialists, there is a culture of piety, you know, go and take snan, go and visit this place also, offer pranam there also, everything. Now this is, that is much better than ordinary materialistic people. Though they have that faith, they go around visiting holy places, much better. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur also would consider it as a, you know, kind of, he would consider it to be impediment in his mission. Those have a higher mission of propagating Krishna consciousness. So he would also not, as such, you know, make many tours. He would make preaching trips. You know, but not just to go and take bath in holy place. Of course, he would take out yatras, but not just, you know, just this particular, let's go and do Magh Snan. And like, people have all these calculations, you know. In Magh, we have to go to Prayag to take bath. Next month, we have to go to this holy place. That is considered very punya. So like to gather punya at different holy places, that is not very much recommended for the devotees. Right? Getting the point? So there are difference between the two. Last two verses. Hiranmayam rajatam shayyam vasamse ajina kambalan yanam rathani bhan kanya dharam vritti karim api.
The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin seats, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance.
Okay, so Prabhupada, so all these people, they gave charity to the Brahmanas, right? So first you said that they were all kind of mixed sadhana siddh. Those are inclined to go at this particular time. Like one person came to the temple, he said, no, this is like a Ekadashi of Shravan Mas, the gold should be given in charity. So he brought 1 gram gold to be given in charity, right? So like that. So there are many people who understand, you know, what is to be given, at what point of time, in which nakshatra, very careful about executing all that. So that is not recommended for devotees. But Prabhupada, what recommends in the purport is Brahmana should be given charity. Right? So now he takes another perspective. For she said, all this is not recommended, you know, for the devotees to waste time here and there, find out what should be given where, right? The devotees can just execute pure devotional service. But then Prabhupada here not talks of that, yes, you know, brahmanas, they need not work under anyone. They can be supported by the kshatriyas and they can give the charity to the righteous brahmanas, right? So like that Prabhupada talks in the purport. So there's another perspective Prabhupada takes. Text 28. Annam choru rasam tebhyo dattva bhagavadarpanam go viprartha shavasura pranemur bhuvimurdhavi.
Thereafter, they offered the Brahmanas highly delicious food stuffs. First offered to the personality of Godhead and offered their respectful obeisances by touching their heads to the ground. They lived perfectly by protecting the cows and the Brahmanas.
Okay, so annam cha ururasam. Ururasam means filled with various kind of rasas. So that was dattva bhagavadarpanam, what was offered to the Lord, and that was given to the Brahmanas. Right? So again, this is very important. Prabhupada says no Vedic ceremony is complete without distribution of prasadam. Right? And Radhashyam Prabhu used to say, any meeting without eating is a cheating. So any meeting has to have prasadam distribution, otherwise the cheating in the Vedic context, right? So in this way, Brahmanas were fed by all of them, right? And it's especially mentioned, you know, this is quite a special event. It's mentioned when Maharaj Dasharath performed he performed yagya to getting the Putrishti yagya. Before that, there was another Ashwamedha yagya in order to get children, right? Two yagyas he had performed very elaborately. It mentioned that he made elaborate arrangement for the prasadam distribution. And all the priests specially congratulated that prasadam was very good. Ramayana mentions that specifically Maharaj Dasharath received, all the people who came, they were specially satisfied with prasadam arrangement. Right? So the prasadam arrangement is a very important aspect of any Vedic ceremony, right? So in that way, Prabhupada also talks about, right, the human beings, what are the how human beings should prepare prasadam from grain, vegetables, milk, etc. They are the prime necessities, right? In Krishna Bhagavad Gita also talks about, you know, prasadam in the mode of goodness, right? So that should be prepared, offered to the Lord, and should be distributed for everyone's satisfaction. Right? जय ग्रंथरा श्रीमद्भागतम की जय शील प्रभुपाद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे. सो टुडे वी एंडेड लिटल अर्ली बिकॉज समटाइम वी गो समटाइम देर शुड सम कंपनसेशन फॉर गोइंग लेट राइट.